This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your new year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Mark Beckman is here, CEO, an award-winning advertising agency with DMA, best-selling author, and his latest book, Some Future Day, How AI is Going to Change Everything. Mark, you could not have come out with a better book at a better time than we're coming right now out of what we saw yesterday was a huge announcement. And this huge announcement rocked the stock market and has everything to do with AI. First off, welcome.
Brian, thank you so much for having me. It's really a thrill to be on your show. It's great to see you.
So you have a real perspective about what took place yesterday. And tell me what China did that rocked everybody's world.
Well, basically what they did was they launched a new artificial intelligence named DeepSeek. But it's not new. It's been around. People think it's new. It's a new model. It's a new version. DeepSeek.
Because they had a DeepSeek that released December 26th, which was kind of showed that they were about equal with us in ChatGPT and Google's Gemini.
Correct.
Right?
It even goes back. I was using it during the summer. But this version was really interesting in that it has reasoning built into it. It's a little bit more advanced. But what they did was they undercut the market. And the app skyrocketed to number one on the App Store. So now we have a country filled with people that have DeepSeek on their iPhones, on their devices, their laptops, and beyond. And, you know, it's very American, as I said to you. We're like sheep in certain ways. We see the shiny object. Everybody thinks it's the cool thing. They control the narrative on social media. The cost of DeepSeek is virtually free. So everybody ran in, but nobody's concerned, I believe, yet most people aren't concerned with the fact that now DeepSeek has access to everyone's data.
So when it comes to constructing something like this, they say the Chinese company spent just $5.6 million to come up with it. Very small amount compared to what OpenAI needed, what Meta needs. And now some people are saying that maybe you don't need to be these mega companies in order to lead the world in AI. Is that something you take away from this?
So it's an interesting part of the analysis, Brian. If you look at DeepSeek and how it goes back in time, its founder started a hedge fund, actually, almost 10 years ago. I think it was 2016. And the hedge fund was financed in many ways from China, and it was set up to create artificial intelligence investments and innovation. I personally don't believe that it was just $6 million that went into this. As you are probably aware, China's been investing into the AI ecosystem, including energy, including the technology, yeah, and including the compute, for a long time, into the trillions of dollars. So this isn't like an overnight thing. I do believe, however, that they were able to leverage what we've seen with OpenAI as far as their infrastructure and what they've built. They were able to use that technology to help accelerate this part of DeepSeek.
So is the word open, is that somehow giving me the wrong impression? Or they said that they did reverse forensics on the creation of Open Chatbot GPT, and that's how they were able to catch up so quick, and then in this case, temporarily, I hope, surpass us. It is open, correct?
People are speculating that they stole what OpenAI created. However, there are two parts to the DeepSeek equation that people need to understand. There's the open piece of it, which will allow programmers to have full access to innovate and to create with regards to the programming. It's all exposed in DeepSeek. That piece of it is probably solid as it relates to accessing an individual's data. It could be private. You don't need to be worried if you're working on that piece of it. But what most people are going to do, Brian, is they're going to use DeepSeek for search purposes. It's much better than Google, admittedly, at this point in time. So the average person will download DeepSeek on their phone and use it for search, and that's where the data is exposed. The individual's data is exposed at that point in time.
So Mark Beckman, our guest, is CEO of his own company, DMA United, but his book is out just for a week now, and so perfect in the timing, Some Future Day, How AI is Going to Change Everything. I want to just talk about this a little bit, and Anthony Papalino from the investment side, the CEO of Professional Capital Management, weighed in on what's going on here and why the market was so negatively affected. Cut 43.
Well, in the actual user agreement, they definitely are taking data and they are putting it in servers in the Republic of China. And so I tell people all the time that if you really care about privacy, if you really care about the security of your data, then I'd be very careful about the software you put on your phone. If you have concerns about TikTok, I'd have concerns about DeepSeek. And so anytime that you are looking at where is my data going, if you don't know, you should probably go figure that out pretty quickly.
Well, here's the other thing is that you have a situation where if you want to go online to go do this and you want to get answers, for example, if you have sensitive questions for China, 1989 Tiananmen Square, you ask DeepSeek, what is that? They have no idea. It says nothing available. If you ask President Xi, is he a great leader? Nothing available. When you ask anything about Taiwan, nothing available. So they're picking and choosing, garbage in, garbage out. So is that what you want controlling in the American mind?
So it's really interesting. I'm happy you brought that up, Brian. For a while, I've been talking about AI wars, China versus America. I also lay out the difference between a centralized and a decentralized artificial intelligence, essentially open and closed. In America, we happen to have a lot of closed, centralized product offerings. Meta is one of, with their Llama version, is one of the only open versions. And I think what that allows for is a lot of opinions, a lot of perspectives. In a way, it's more democratized. You would expect from China the opposite, centralized, closed, and fully in control. In this interest, it's kind of perplexing that they're controlling what people perceive as it relates to China and China's history, yet it's open. So there's a tension there, I think, that's built into it innately, where they're coming out and saying it's an open platform. They're giving access to all of the technology, but yet they're controlling certain messaging.
But aren't you getting the same thing from TikTok? When it comes to anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, nothing positive, almost nothing positive about Israel and their war
Correct.
With the Palestinians. There's nothing positive. You're going to tell me that Trump's not going to be angry when he realizes the Panama Canal coverage is going to be all about China having no impact on the canal when two Hong Kong companies own portions of the canal?
Totally agree. So it's interesting that you're raising TikTok and the Trump administration, because what we're seeing right now, as you know, is a move to bring TikTok into some sort of American ownership. And there's an artificial intelligence search vertical that you and I have spoke about actually historically called Perplexity. And Perplexity is running right now to purchase TikTok. And the other angle that's interesting is that Trump, I believe, said just yesterday or the day before that he wants the American government to own 50% of that vertical. So Perplexity, TikTok, and America come into play for TikTok. Why is it interesting? Perplexity then has access to all of that data on the search piece of TikTok, similar to what Meta is doing across Instagram, Facebook, and WhatsApp. So it gives Perplexity a big lead or a big advantage over other search platforms.
I just hope the president realizes China can't own it. And if they decide to collapse it instead of selling it, it shows you it's a spying device, because no business person would ever walk away from $2 trillion.
Correct. And it's interesting also, are you aware that the New York City government forbids any city employee from having TikTok
Did
on their
I know
device?
That.
Yeah, this is true. The New York City chief technology officer joined me in a conversation that I had at NYU, and he disclosed that information. And it's been for a couple of years now. So there must be something going on if the New York City government is so concerned about TikTok that employees are forbidden from having the app on their phone. There's got to be something going on.
I mean, there has to be. And we also know that India has banned it. Romania is about to ban it with an election coming up. So, Mark, how is AI going to change our everyday lives, not just the capital investor and not just an NVIDIA vice president?
So thanks for asking that, Brian. My book really covers a lot of that. What I wanted to do with my new book is create a platform where the beginner, the curious person, the average person who is not in tech could find ways to implement artificial intelligence solutions to enhance the quality of their career, the quality of their family, and the quality of their city. And within each chapter, depending on what people are interested in, it could be fashion, it could be finance, it could be medicine. There's a really cool section in there, which I hope you check out, on government and the evolution of warfare. But within each chapter, I give the reader tools that she or he could use so that they could apply AI to their life immediately.
I find out it's already in schools. I mean, people are already using it. And there's, I guess, watermarks they're looking at for teachers to be able to detect it.
Yeah.
So teachers already got to adjust.
It's tough. The truth of the matter is that to see whether or not a student is using artificial intelligence is virtually impossible. The AI has evolved with regards to the way that the text is put out in a statement. So it used to be really easy to like figure out, there was like a certain syntax to the language that the AI was using. But now it's a little bit more complicated. It's a little bit more sophisticated. This is where the interaction between AI and crypto is going to come into play. Crypto is going to play a major role with regards to authenticating content that might have been produced through artificial intelligence.
All right. So we'll talk about that more when we come back. Mark Beckman's here. Go pick up his book, Some Future Day, How AI is Going to Change Everything. More with Mark. And a lot of this, what happened yesterday was the number one story, and it's not going away today. Don't move. Hi, everyone. I'm Brian Kilmeade. If you want something fun and easy to search for homes and apartments, then you should be using the Redfin app. Whether I'm searching for my next place, if I want to buy, if I want to rent, or if I just want to scroll through and see some dream homes, like, for example, something on the beach, or at least a walk to the beach, a big house, second, maybe a third floor, I use the Redfin app. Redfin makes it fun to search all the homes for sale and apartments for rent in your neighborhood. You can filter for price, for beds, for baths, square footage, and so much more. So if you find a place you love, Redfin makes it easy to go see it in person. Just schedule a tour right from the app. Plus, if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they close twice as many deals as other agents. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So whether you're looking to buy, you're looking to rent, you're looking to sell, Redfin's got you covered. Download the Redfin app to get started.
Even if you think it's a bit overhyped, AI is suddenly everywhere, from self-driving cars to molecular medicine to business efficiency. And if it's not in your industry yet, it's coming fast. But AI needs a lot of speed and computing power, so how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? Time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. Or OCI. OCI is a blazing fast and secure platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, plus all of your AI and machine learning workloads. OCI costs 50% less for compute and 80% less for networking. So you're saving a pile of money. Thousands of businesses have already upgraded to OCI, including Vodafone, Thomson Reuters, and Suno AI. Right now, Oracle is offering to cut your current bill, your current cloud bill, in half if you move to OCI. For new U.S. customers with minimal financial commitment, and the offer ends March 31st. See if your company qualifies for this special offer at oracle.com/Cain. That's oracle.com/CAIN.
It's a little disconcerting that this is the number one app in the free app store right now, because you see this is not a reliable place to get any meaningful information. But John, I do think this is an important moment. Mark Andreessen, who's one of the world's preeminent technologists, said on Twitter or on X today that this is a Sputnik moment. As you recall, Sputnik in 1957 was when the Soviets launched a satellite into orbit before we did, and it took us by surprise. So what you're seeing in the markets today is a reaction to this Chinese company's claims that, number one, they have reached this level of capability at a fraction of the cost of what OpenAI and others here in the United States have done, and with a fraction of the computing capacity that they did it with. Now, that's important. This AI race is going to be the defining technology race of the time, so we've got to get the national will to win this.
And that is Cliff Sims, former DNI deputy director under John Radcliffe, was now at the CIA. And he's back in the Trump orbit to a degree, even though he wrote, I thought, a hit book on him to a degree. But he was just weighing in on effectively what went down yesterday that caused the market, the tech stocks, to crash the way they did, and to see if it bounces back. Mark Beckman does this stuff for a living. He's got a book out, Some Future Day, How AI is Going to Change Everything on a Practical Level. He's also a CEO of DMA United. So, Mark, just when you hear Cliff Sims talk, you see how prevalent this thing rippled through the entire country.
Yeah, I think it's good that Trump is in office right now. We're on the precipice, as he says, of a golden age. But that applies to innovation, too. So it's time for American ingenuity to step up and innovate. We need to compete. This is a warning for American businesses, for the American tech sector, that China, we had a lead on them. We were about 2 years ahead of them with OpenAI. Now they're right on our tail. They're neck and neck. So we need to accelerate, Brian.
Because what they did is they do reverse forensics on what made OpenAI. And they said, let me improve it. Let's do it cheaper. Labor's cheaper, number one.
Correct.
Number two is they were forced to make their own chips, essentially, because we kind of locked them out.
Correct.
And because of their belligerent behavior. And they've never even owned up to COVID-19. So that's part of it. So they might be a little bit more self-sufficient.
Brian, think about the intellectual property, too. So our LLMs were using, they were scraping different corpus of information from the internet, books, history, et cetera. But we were entering into licensing deals. I think, like, for example, the New York Times, the Washington Post, they were cutting deals with OpenAI, with Google, with Meta, et cetera, so that they had the right to use that content with regards to training the LLM. In this instance, all of that content is now built into DeepSeek. But do you think they paid for any of it? How do you think they accessed it? So it's, again, there's a lot of like old Chinese playbook here, right? Like they're going and they're just taking our IP. I assume they're just taking the IP. They're undercutting the market. And I really think their goal here is to not just beat us with AI, but to also access our devices, to access our data. Data, at the end of the day, data is a major part of this game.
A lot of people listening right now go, okay, take my data. You know, I'm making $65,000 a year. I got a family. I got a mortgage. I got two cars. What do you have on me? What's the negative side of giving up your data?
Well, let's talk about it a little bit differently. Let's say, for example, China wants to come into New York City and start to institute a cyber attack, or Iran, or any of these countries. Now, what's really interesting is we have billions of cyber attacks in New York City every single week, billions, literally. In fact, New York City is working in conjunction with the federal government to safeguard us. We're at a weaker point than China, where it's centralized, because all of our infrastructure is owned and operated by the private sector. So I think in terms of hospitals, banking systems, et cetera. So when we're attacked, when AI is used by China, by Iran, by North Korea, we're attacked in a way that is totally disjointed and disorganized when we have to be on the defense. The government literally needs to align with the private sector to make sure that we're locked down and all of your data and everything is safe and secure. Meanwhile, keep in mind now, China has access to your phone, to the way that you're moving, to what you're purchasing, your consumer habits, anything that's any information that's on your phone, where you live. Perhaps they could access your banking information. It's all locked into your phone. And it puts us, I think, in a more vulnerable perspective. When we attack the foreign markets like China or Iran or North Korea, because they're a centralized entity, it's a lot easier for them to protect their infrastructure, to protect their water sources, their hospitals, their banking system.
So when you talk about practical uses of AI, which you talk about in your book, Black George Washington pops up early with Google's AI search. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so clearly we can't count on this either. And we see China with this leading app. It turns out that they have all disinformation on when it goes against the Chinese best interest. Should we all be wary of that?
I think we're still at a point with regards to the development of AI where people should double check. I certainly do. I never rely on using artificial intelligence, if it's generative AI, which is what you're referencing, on its own. I'll use it as a starting point. It could facilitate tasks and open up some free time for more important objectives in my day. But I would encourage all of your listeners, if they're going to use generative AI, to double check, make sure their sources and the information is accurate.
Which is weird, because you just want to be able to, like, do how you soap up an encyclopedia and say, okay, what happened in the War of 1812? You put it into ChatGPT and go, well, what country came up with this? Is England going to put out something that makes them look better than the U.S.? That kind of, I feel, is a step backwards.
Well, we're getting there. It's almost there. OpenAI, for example, is allowing for sources of information. It's really easy now, so you could click the link and go back and read it and make sure that it's perfect.
All right, so Mark Beckman's got a book out. Go pick it up if you want to see how AI can help you in your life. It's called Some Future Day, How AI is Going to Change Everything. And you can follow Mark at Mark Beckman. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you so much.
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I am joined by Senior Vice President of CRC Advisors, Matt Whitlock, as we discuss the first 100 days of President Trump 2.0. Available now on FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.